Good morning to everyone. Greetings in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here. It's good to share together in this way again. Thank you, Steve, for what you shared. It is true, he didn't know what I was planning to talk about. And I will be thinking a little differently than what he shared on, but I appreciated his challenge to us to not to be ashamed of the gospel, not to be ashamed of truth. I think to begin here, what I'd like to share this morning, I'd like to tell you about an incident that took place in my life a number of years back. I believe I was probably about 13 years old. And when I was growing up, it was my summers were very simple, much simpler than they are now, in the sense that it was pretty much tied up in doing the work that my parents wanted me to do in the morning and going swimming in the afternoon with my cousins. And we did that day after day. And it was a lot of fun. And came to know that place where we swam very well. Part of the summer's activities was to go to this place. It was along Muddy Creek, back behind not too far from the Harrisburg Church. If you turn and go east there off of Powerline Road, back along the creek. We had a swimming hole back there, and we would go back there about once a year. Again, it was the cousins. And we would sleep out. We would do that during the month of August when the meteorites were falling more than other times during the year. And we would start and build a fire and we'd sleep in our sleeping bags. And we'd lay there and look at the stars, looking for these falling stars, counting how many we would see and just having a good time sleeping out. And all of you have probably experienced that. You know what I'm talking about. This particular time, we did what we always did. We got up in the morning, and part of the procedure was to make our own breakfast over the fire. We did that, and I don't remember, 8, 9, 10 o'clock came along. It was time to go home. So we, as good little campers should do, we got water and we put it on the fire. We put the fire out. Remember, this is the middle of the summer. So back there by the creek, it's dry, the grass is brown, and we put the fire out, picked up our stuff, and we left, went home. I believe it was about 2 hours. Oh, I forgot to mention that for some reason, I don't remember the details, but not far from where we were camping was a pile of hay bales someone had put back there. And a couple hours after we went home, my older cousin was driving down Powerline Road, and he looked back there, and he saw a trail of smoke in the sky. He immediately went back there to see what was going on. And as he pulled down into that flat spot by the creek, here, fire was burning. And it was within a couple of feet of this stack of straw. And he jumped out of his vehicle, and I believe he was able to stamp it out. So what happened there? We thought we had that fire out. And I remember, we dumped water on it. Apparently we didn't put enough water on it. And as time went on, that the wind blew, the morning breeze blew on that little spot where we had our fire. And it caused that fire to come back to life. And it began to burn. It began to do what I would call great things. It hadn't quite got to the greatest thing. Had it got to the pile of straw, it would have been very great, I suppose, in the fire that would have been created. The fire was fanned by that breeze. This morning, I'd like to talk a little bit. What I'd like to talk about springs from a burden on my heart for our church here. I have a desire to see God's fire burning brightly in everyone's life. A desire to do my part to help that fire burn. The fire of God. A desire to see connection among us to the point where people in this group know where and when and how to provide air to the fire, to a struggling fire in the life of a person, so that it will burst into flame again, so that there will be a real fire there. But as I look at that, as I wrestle with that, I struggle with a sense of inability. I don't know how. I don't know how to do that. I struggle with a sense of overwhelmness. There's a lot of people here. And I just told my wife the other day, I can't be, or we can't be, everything to everybody. I struggle with a sense of disconnect. I don't even know. I didn't know about that. I didn't know that that was happening. I didn't know that that was going on in that person's life. I struggle with a sense of isolation. Maybe they don't really want my help. Steve read to us from 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I'd like to focus on one verse in particular and a bit on a second verse. But that verse is verse 6, where it says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." I'd like to read that from the NIV. And from this I get my message. The NIV says this verse like this: "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." The title of my message this morning is Fanning the Flame. And I'm not here to promote the NIV in any way, but that when I read that, not necessarily, but when I read that, fanning into flame, in the King James says, stir up the gift of God. I guess we can maybe get a better picture when we think about fanning into flame. All of you have started fires probably along the way. We heat our house with wood, and I have started many, many fires, and I have fanned many, many fires into flame by blowing and blowing and blowing and blowing on that fire. Just blow and blow and blow, trying to get it to burn. Fanning into flame. And I would like us to take that natural reality and think about that in a spiritual way. How can we, in our own personal lives, fan the flame so that it begins to burn? How many of us today are just very happy with the pilot light, the pilot flame that is burning in your life? How big is a pilot flame? It's extremely small. You can barely see it. And I don't want to make light of a flame that may be there, but I want to encourage you this morning to blow on that flame a little bit so it burns a little brighter and has a bigger effect, so that the fire of your life can do great things, just like that fire that escaped that fire pit was intending to do with that stack of straw that was extremely close to. Fan your own personal flame so that it bursts into a flame that does something, that actually makes a difference. You say, "Well, I have a pilot there, so you need to be happy about that." And I am. But that's not enough for you and I to just have a pilot flame burning. We need to burn for the Lord, as it were, and make a difference. Along with this idea of fanning our own personal flame, as it were, how do you reach out to the people in this church and fan their flames? You say, "Well, that's not my job. After all, you just got done saying that we need to fan our own flames." And we do. But I have a burden for how we as a group of people, as a brotherhood, can reach out and fan into flame the embers that are smoldering, just wishing for somebody to come along and blow on them, as it were, so that a fire can burst forth from that. You know, a little wind makes a fire burn. A little water puts a fire out. And I don't want to point any fingers this morning. I don't intend to do that at all. I don't want to cast any judgment. I don't want to do anything like that. I just would like to ask you to think about how you are relating to the people around you, how you are relating to this brotherhood right here. You say, well, there's so many people, I can't keep track of everybody. I can't keep up with what's going on in everyone's life. And I recognize that. I wrestle with that too. There's so many of us here. But just remember, a little wind makes the fire burn. A little water puts the fire out. We just heard Brother Jesse talking about how people came into his life and blew on it, as it were, and helped his fire to burn. And I just wonder sometimes if, well, I don't wonder, I know that I and all of us here could do a much better job at blowing on the fire in the lives of other people so that it can burn. Maybe the fire in the lives of the person beside you is you look at him or you look at her and you say, well, there's no fire there. They're dead. Just can't see anything. I had that situation at our own little fireplace here a couple weeks ago. Somebody hadn't paid attention to it. I got home from work and opened it up and it was just ash, white ash, a little bit of black stuff here and there. Nothing was there. At least I thought there was nothing there, and I was in no mood to build a fire, but the house was kind of cold. So it's like, well, why didn't somebody pay attention to this? And I don't know what all happened. But I had to build a fire. I started digging around in those ashes. And what did I find? I found an ember that was about this big, red hot, but I couldn't see it. I didn't know it was there just by looking at it. And I think that sometimes pictures the lives of the people in our church, in our brotherhood, people around us. There's an ember there, and all it needs is for you and me to come along and blow it. Come along and encourage it. I gave that ember a little bit of encouragement. I put some paper on it, put some kindling on it, and it burst into flame after a few minutes. I don't know how that can be done. And I'm not going to stand here this morning and try and tell you, you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this to make the fire burn. I only want to encourage you. I beg of you to take time to look at the person around you, the people that you interact with. Oh yes, look at your families, but take it bigger than your families. Look at your church family and see how you can inspire the fire of God to burn in their lives. And there are people around us that need that fanning. You can take a person whose fire burns brightly most of the time. You say, well, there's no reason for me to go and encourage that person. No reason for me to go blow on that person, as it were. They have it all put together. They don't need that. Their fire is burning. But if a fire doesn't continue to get air, it will eventually go out. That fireplace of mine has a damper on it. You know what a damper is? And you close the damper, you cut the air off, and the fire goes out. The flame disappears because there's no air. And I guess as we think about air, think of it as encouragement. Think of it as interaction. Think of it as caring, as loving, as taking time. I don't know how you want to apply that. And yes, it's true that all of us don't have the time to blow on the fires of all other 240 people in this building. We all can't do that. It's probably practically not possible. But we all do have time to interact with each other in such a way that we realize where the need is. When we are talking, when we are discussing, when we are together, and we can encourage so that that fire can burn. I believe a fire does exist in the life of every person. And as a brotherhood, I would like you to consider how you can make that fire burn. I'd like to think about three things this morning. I'd like to encourage you and share with you a few things that maybe will help your fire to burn. I'd like to talk to you a little about how you can, in a personal way, blow on the fire of God in your life and cause it to burn. Now, I'd like you to think about how you can do that in the lives of the people around you. So first of all, fanning the flames. I mean, just a few words of encouragement to help you. If we move on to verse 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Again, if we take that from the NIV, it says it like this: "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." And a few weeks back, I talked a lot about fear, and I'm not going to talk a lot about that this morning. But I do want to tell you, I do want to encourage you: do not be fearful. I don't have any idea what all is going on in your life, what you're facing, what you're dealing with. But don't be fearful. Don't let that come in and be as water and put your fire out because you're afraid. Fear binds you. Fear blinds you. Fear paralyzes you, confuses you, and ultimately fear destroys you. And Paul says to Timothy, God didn't give you that spirit. Instead, He gives you the ability to be bold. He gives you the ability to be powerful, as we see as we look more in that verse. In Psalm 91, verses 1 to 6, David says like this: "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Thou shalt not be afraid." Don't have to be afraid of anything because you have God with you. So don't be fearful. Don't allow that spirit to torment you. Don't allow it to have a place in your life. But instead, Paul tells Timothy, be powerful. Be powerful. The call of God on your life and on my life is that of power. Power that motivates you. Power that gives you the ability to do what seems impossible. Do you remember the story of Esther? When she was faced with the question of will she go into the king or will she not go into the king? Will she risk her life or will she not risk her life? And we all know that she finally said, "I'll go in." And she did. What gave her the ability to make that decision and do what seemed impossible? Even at the threat of her life, it was the power of God. It was a power that she had somehow come in contact with. And that's the same kind of power that you and I have. We can face what seems to be ready to destroy us. We can face and carry on and carry through with what seems to be impossible. Just as Esther did in her situation. This power of God energizes you. Think of the story of David and Goliath. I love to think about the conversation that those two men had before they had their battle. And I don't have it memorized, but it's just amazing how David, he ran to meet Goliath. And they were back and forth and making these statements about what they were going to do and David about what God was going to do. He was energized. He was ready to face that giant that was, for all practical purposes, impossible to defeat. A giant that had struck fear in the hearts of all of his peers, even the king. He said, I'll go out. How could he do that? He had the power of God in his life. And that same power is the power that can motivate, the power that you have. It can energize you to step out and do what God wants you to do. Whether it's killing a giant or whether it's simply doing what's right, that power is there. It's that power that Paul encourages Timothy in. This power sustains you. It'll help you to carry on, to continue. Another Old Testament story, those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into that fiery furnace. They knew they would be if they knelt, and they refused to kneel to that idol. But they weren't worried. And again, as I read that story and contemplate that story, I'm always impressed by the fact that these three boys, I don't know how old they were, but they weren't very old. They might have been the age of you youth sitting over here. Were not worried. They were not bothered by having to face the possibility of standing in a furnace that was so hot it killed the people that threw them in. That didn't bother them. Why? Because they had the power of God in their lives. And that same power is able to be present in your life and in my life. So I encourage you to step forward and take that power and go with it. It's a power that will never leave you. It's a power that will never fail you because it's the power of God. The next thing he encourages Timothy in here is to be loving. The call of God on your life and on my life is a call to love. It's a love that touches everybody. It's not a love that is selective. I'll love you, but I won't love you. I'll interact with you, but I won't interact with you. I have time for you, but I don't have time for you. That's not the kind of love that's being talked about here. But it's the kind of love that reaches out and touches those who have needs. Those who have situations in their lives that cause you to wish you had it the same way. And you struggle with the love. Because you're a little bit jealous, or you're struggling a little bit with the good things that others maybe have benefited from. This love touches those situations as well. It's the love of God. It's a love that will not be detoured by anything. It's love that is evident in every circumstance. It's not selective, as I said, and it includes everyone. Paul says to Timothy, this is what you have, the spirit of love, and this is what I want you to have. And he says that to us as well. Let this love be present in your life, in your relationships with each other. Fear, always standing opposite these ideas. The idea of the power of God, the love of God, is the spirit of fear. And it's either the fear or the power and the love that we can have in our lives. We don't have the power of God and fear at the same time. They don't run together. They are exclusive of one another. And so I call you to the power of God and the love of God. And finally, he encourages Timothy with the third one there. He says, be self-disciplined. Have a sound mind. The call of God to self-discipline. It's a self-discipline that causes personal growth. And it's present, it's possible for all of you, from the youngest to the oldest, to grow personally in your Christian life, to mature, to become more godlike, to become more Christ-like. That is possible. And And Paul says, Timothy, I want you to go that direction. I encourage all of you to go that direction, to become more as God would have you to be, to have personal growth. Don't become stagnant. Don't stop growing, but continue to grow. This self-discipline brings quietness to your life. It brings contentment. This self-discipline establishes priorities, godly priorities. It doesn't let things get out of hand. It doesn't let things that shouldn't be first place, it doesn't allow them to get there. But it keeps God where He is meant to be. It keeps the things of God where He is meant to be. It keeps the spiritual life foremost. That's what I encourage you to do. Step out and do that. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't step backward and say, well, you know, I've got this fire. I've got this little fire in my heart. I've got it. It's burning. You know, I've given my heart to the Lord. I'm serving God. I want to be faithful to God. That's all right and good. But let somebody come to you and blow on that pilot flame and cause it to burst into a flame that makes a difference. Just as a gas stove, a propane stove, has that pilot burning. And when you turn the knob on there and you turn it up to 200, 300, 400 degrees, you look at that pilot, all of a sudden it bursts into flame. And it makes a difference. It bakes the bread. It cooks the casserole. Whatever is stuck into an oven like that. A pilot never does that. You can't cook bread. You can't bake bread with a pilot light. You just can't do it. You can't cook a casserole by just letting it on pilot. Neither can you make a difference for the kingdom of God with just a pilot. And Paul knew that. And he told Timothy, he said, fan the flame. He encouraged Timothy to fan that flame in his own life. The instruction here is, do it in your life. Fan into flame the gift of God that you received. Be faithful in doing that personally. So I don't want to take away from that being our own personal responsibility. That I am supposed to fan that flame. I'm supposed to turn that knob up to 200, 300, 400 degrees, however you want to think of it, so that that pilot bursts into something profitable for God's kingdom. And so we can't just sit back and say, well, I've got a pilot. I'll wait till somebody comes along and turns my temperature up so I have a flame. That's not what God is calling us to here. God is calling us to take the initiative ourselves and do what we can do to make that flame, make that pilot become a flame. So what can we do to make that pilot become something more than just a little flame? 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul tells Timothy again, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Just a few very basic things. These are not new, but they're very, very, they're very important for you and I to consider. The first thing we can do to cause that pilot to become more than just a pilot is to maintain a vibrant relationship with God. You say, "Well, I've heard that over and over again, and I know I should read my Bible, and I know I should pray, but I mean, after all, I've got a pilot that's burning, and I'm just satisfied with that." Well, I want to call you to something more than a pilot this morning, more than just a little flame. And it really is true that if you want to have a big flame, for lack of better terminology, for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need a relationship with Him. You need a vibrant relationship with Him, not a pilot relationship with Him. And that relationship with Him needs to be built through communication with Him. Prayer. Fear doesn't want you to pray, because fear is afraid of what will happen if you pray. But if you want to have more than a pilot light in your life, then get on your knees and pray. Take time to pray. If you have something in that's really concerning you, something that is a burden on your heart, get on your knees and pray. This is part of a relationship with God. And this is something that everybody can do, from these young guys in the front to these young ladies in the front, and all of us to the back. Every one of us can pray. But if you're like me, you hardly have time. You find it hard to find time to do it. It's one of those things that, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, I'll do it after I get to my office at work. Well, I'll do it when I'm eating lunch. Well, I'll do it when, I don't know, we just come up. I'll do it when I get home this evening. And I don't know how it is with you, but all of those times when I say I'll do it when, they just never happen. Never comes. And it takes more than that. It takes a very intentional, for me it takes an intentional schedule or an intentional plan or something that I will, at this time, this is when it will happen. Because if it's just haphazard, it does not happen for me. And I venture to guess that it's true for you as well. But if you want to have that flame begin to grow in your life, then you need to communicate with God through prayer. You need to grow in your knowledge of God through Bible reading, through listening to the teaching of God's Word through the medias that are possible, the CDs, the recordings, the things that you have at your fingertips where God's truth is being shared. It takes time. And I don't want to say that should be done over and above Bible reading. I believe that Bible reading personally is extremely important. But I'm just saying there are many ways for us to expose ourselves to the Word of God. Joshua 1:8, Joshua says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." It's a very familiar verse, and we all read it. We all know what it says. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou to do everything you're supposed to do, and then you'll have a prosperous way, and then you'll have success. We just run right over those words. I know I do. Meditate therein day and night. Meditate. Say, "Well, I got a job to do. I work, and I've got to work, and I can't be thinking about Scripture all the time. I don't have time to do that." That is a practical problem, and I don't have a good answer for that. But the point is here that the Bible, the Word of God, is such a part of our lives that we do spend time thinking about it. We do spend a lot of time thinking about it. We're in a situation and we got to decide, do I do this or do I do that, any given day. The Word of God should be so present in our lives that it helps to affect everything we do and everything we say. So if you want that fan to grow, or you want that flame to grow in your life, you want it to be fanned, reading the Word of God will fan it and cause it to become more than just a pilot. Remember God Take time to remember what He's done. When was the last time that you looked back on your life and you said, well, I see now. I see now that God was at work here. And I praise His name for that. I see that He called me here. I see that He was faithful here. Again, we're busy people and we don't have time many times to do that. And I just urge you, I encourage you to take the time to do that in your own personal life. To think back, to remember what God has done, because that helps to give you the ability to look ahead and to say, all right, I know what God did back here, and I know what He's going to do up here, because God is faithful, and God doesn't change. And so if He was faithful in the past, we know that He'll be faithful in the future. But if we don't take time to dwell on His faithfulness, then it's really hard for us to place our future in His hands and to move forward with that. A relationship with God. Pray. Read His Word. Remember what He has done. Be a testimony for God. Don't be ashamed to speak of God. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, His prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. That must be from the NIV as well. The King James says, but be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. But be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed at all. This helps the fire of God in our lives to burn and to burn more brightly. Realize our responsibility to be a testimony. Matthew 28, the Great Commission says, all power is given. Go out and teach. Go out and baptize. Go out and be a testimony. And in that, the fire begins to burn more brightly. Maintain, to help fan our relationship with God in a personal way. Maintain a vibrant relationship with other Christians. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Take time to observe other people's lives. Let them speak into your lives. Let them encourage you. I've had numerous people in my past who have, as I observe their walk with God, they don't even say anything to me. I just observe. And I come away from that and I'm like, this is incredible. I want to be like them. I want to serve God like they serve God. I want to be bold like they are bold. And the fire begins to burn in my own personal life. Be accountable to others. This helps to add fuel to the fire as well. Fanning of the flame of God in our lives. That flame of God, primarily, is our own personal responsibility. You and I can never blame the condition of our flame on our church or our family or our circumstances. And I just say that because we are very, very prone to do that. We're very prone to point our finger at any of those three and maybe some other things as well and say, well, I am who I am because of my church or because of my family situation or because of what's happening in my life. Oh, I know my flame's not very bright. In fact, you know, I can't even see a flame. It's hidden underneath all that white ash. Can't even see there's anything there. I know that's true, but if you would know my situation, you would understand. And I suppose I would. And I suppose all of us would understand. But the fact of the matter remains, the condition of your flame is your responsibility. Now, that is not to say that I shouldn't try to encourage you and that all of us should not try to encourage each other so that the flame can burn. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm only trying to encourage you and call you to take personal inventory of your light, your fire for God. And do what it takes to make it burn brightly. And then look around you and say, well, I can help this person. I can encourage this person. I can add air to this situation, as it were, and cause it to burn brightly for the Lord. And that moves me on to my last point. The call to fan the flame of God in the lives of others. Isaiah 42, verses 3. First part of the verse says, the bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench? Speaking of Christ. Christ was very good at this. He knew where that ember was. He knew where that slight little fire was in everybody that he met, and he knew what to do and he knew what to say to make it burn, to cause excitement, to cause commitment. He could do that. The call, and I guess we often tend to say he could do that because he was God, and I believe that's true. And we can sometimes use that as an excuse and say, well, I'm not God. I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know how to encourage this person. I don't know how to add fuel to the fire, so to speak, to make God's fire burn more brightly. But I would just caution you not to do that, because that causes us to pull back and not to interact with each other as we should. As I've said already, this church is large. This church has a lot of large family groups in it. This church has a strong sense that I can do it by myself. This church is full of a lot of busy people. And all of these make it very difficult to enter into each other's lives and speak well and to encourage. But I think it should be our goal to know our fellow believers so that when there is a need, when they have a need, we have the ability to sense it. And I don't do very well at that. I wish I could do better. I want to do better. I really do. And I want all of you to do better. I don't want you to depend on the six of us that are in leadership and say, well, that's their job. They need to know when everybody's hurting, and they need to know how to blow on that fire to make it burn. I haven't been ordained very long, but I have been in positions of responsibility. And I know for a fact that if you're depending on the six of us to do it, you're going to be sorely disappointed. It's impossible for us to do it. That's why as a brotherhood, we need to step forward and blow on each other's lives. Blow on each other's flames and make them burn for the Lord brighter than what they are now. Don't allow the thoughts like this. Well, our church is too big. I can't make a difference. I can't stretch around everyone. Other people will do it, so I don't need to do it. Their family will take care of them. These people don't really need or want my help. Don't let those thoughts enter in and stop you from encouraging and adding what you can to make the fire of God burn in the lives of the people around you. Be available. Be interested. When there's difficulties, the Bible says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When there's joy, rejoice with them that do rejoice. When there's sorrow, weep with them that weep. Be intentional with your encouragement. Deuteronomy 3 says, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Moses speaking about Joshua there. Encourage him, the Bible says. Those were Moses' words. Blow on him. Make his flame burn brighter for the Lord. That was what being asked to be done here. Be available. Be intentional with service. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Take time, listen, and speak. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 7 says, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. There is a time for both of those. And we need the wisdom of God to know when to listen and when to talk. But if our vision, if our goal is to help the fire of God to burn brighter in the lives of the people that we are speaking to, if that is our desire, we will seize the opportunity and do what we can to make that happen. And that's my encouragement to you. Don't miss the opportunities that are all around you. Fan the flame of God in the lives of others. What burdens me is that in my self-centeredness, in my selfishness, in my busy life, in my inability to perceive, whatever you want to put there, I miss the opportunities. In my fear, I miss the opportunities to inspire others to shine, to burn for the Lord. And if I was to speak in all honesty, I think most of us miss them. Most of us don't see them. Most of us draw back from it. And my call, my desire, my burden is that we as a brotherhood can be a brotherhood that is able to fan the flames of people around us so that they will burn. They will burn brightly for the Lord, and this church in Halsey, Oregon will make a difference. We'll actually be able to make a difference in the kingdom of God. We will not be an oven that just is always on pilot. And we are living in the illusion that we have a pilot, so everything's okay, and we're doing something for the Lord because we have a pilot. Well, again, I ask you to consider, how much does a pilot in an oven do in reality? How much difference does a pilot make? Of course, you have to have a pilot for there to be a fire. Some of you may be thinking that, and I believe that's true. But to remain on a pilot is not what God is asking us to do. Consider the flame of God in your life. And may God help you to cause it to burn, to take the steps you need to take to make it burn brightly for the Lord. When you have focused on that, when you have done what you need to do to be a fire for the Lord, take the time to tune in to the lives of the people around you and see how you can help them to also have a fire that burns for God. That's my desire. That's my burden. This church will be a light that shines, a fire that burns, that builds the kingdom of God. Let's have a closing song.